joining me today. I'm Mindy McNeil, and I am joined in studio by Diana Higuera. She is with Rocky Mountain Welcome Center, and she is the executive director and founder. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Exactly. What is your organization? You're the founder.
I'm the founder.
You're the vision.
Yes.
What is the Rocky Mountain Welcome Center?
Well, it's a brand new organization. Mm-hmm. We work with immigrants and refugees, basically. We think that it is important for immigrants, refugees, and receiving communities, that are the communities receiving these populations, to foster integration through learning, intercultural learning, understanding, because we believe that integration is not just one-way street, it's a two-way street. So immigrants and refugees and receiving communities integrate themselves together.
Okay.
So the idea and one of the theories says that when you see one population mirroring the other population, then there is integration. So not only immigrants and refugees are going to start having like a third culture, so they maintain some culture of their own, and then they create kind of a new culture by adding things from the new place where they're staying. The idea is that it also happened the other way around, where receiving communities also adopt some things of the immigrants they're receiving. So, for example, here we have a great Mexican food.
Yes.
So
oh, yes.
That will be some examples of integration. Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, and I know you mentioned Mexican food, but I know you're Venezuelan.
Yes.
So is this open to every type of immigrant, no matter
yes.
their nationality?
Yes. Okay. No matter the nationality, we work with anybody. We are, as I said, a brand new organization. We had our grand opening in May this year.
Okay.
We opened to the public in October last year, and we are right now starting to launch our educational programs. Mm-hmm. So we just launched a month and a half ago, or kindergarten preparation, mm-hmm. and that is for immigrant refugee kids that are between the ages of 3 and 5. And parents should have to come with the kids. We're not a place where they can just leave the kids and go.
Yeah, not daycare. Okay.
No.
Okay.
And if they have older siblings or younger mm-hmm. siblings, they can also bring them with them, and we will have activities for them as well. And the idea is that in a lot of different cultures, the kids stay at home with the parents until mm-hmm. they go to kindergarten or first grade.
Okay.
And but then there are a lot of kids that are not prepared to go to kindergarten. And the education in Colorado mm-hmm. has a lot of indicators of when the kids are ready to go to kindergarten and the things that they need to know
yes.
to go.
Okay.
So that's the things that we're preparing the kids to go to kindergarten. So the shapes, the colors, the letters, knowing how to write their names, things like that. And we also give parents some help in terms of what are the activities that they can do with their kids at home.
Okay.
So that is one of the programs. We will start an after-school academic program in September, and this is for primary school kids and is for grades 1 to 3, and it's a reading program.
Okay.
So the idea is that kids are 1 or 2 years behind in reading level will get to our classes. Well, we will help them through a system. It's a computerized system, each kid on their own pace. And we will help them to advance in reading to get to their level. And the good thing about the program that we have is that because it's individualized, when they do the test will tell us what is it that they're lacking and where are their issues. So, for example, if you have a second language or a foreign language learner, so an English language learner mm-hmm. that is knows how to read in their own language but may not know how to read in English.
Okay.
Maybe they're going to start by doing phonics, but then they're going to jump. Once they know the phonics, they're going to jump very fast to a very good reading level once they know the language and they understand what they're reading.
So is that the ESL, kind of like an ESL program, English second language?
It is, but it's not.
Okay.
We're not teaching English, but okay. we're teaching how to read.
Okay.
And
Oh, so, okay. So if a child is from Mexico, and then they come to the United States, but they just didn't even learn how to read in Mexico.
Exactly.
You will be teaching them in their first language.
No, we're teaching English.
Oh, you are teaching English. You're just teaching them to read. It's not the goal of we need to teach you English. It's the goal is to teach you to read or write.
Exactly.
Or do your math.
I'm because with you now. Sometimes, for example, we have a lot of refugees that have been in refugee camps for a long time. Maybe they were born in refugee camps and they didn't have access to education. And then you have a kid that may be, you know, an age of high school and they're placed in high school, but the education level is first, second, or third grade. And of course, it doesn't kind of make sense because they don't know how to read and they're not understanding anything what is happening in class. So these kids are not going to graduate. So the idea is that we will have our immigrants and refugees reading to the grade they belong. We're starting just with primary school. And it's proven that if you have the kids reading by third grade level, and that level is when they start understanding what they read, then they can do the other subjects. That it's just the acquiring the whole concepts and the whole information. So it's not just focusing on reading, but focusing on the information they're learning.
Now, I have a question for you, a few things. What inspired you to start this?
The need. There is a huge need outside. I've been working with immigrants and refugees now for, I would say, almost 10 years.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm an immigrant myself. Okay. So I know, as an immigrant, barriers that we have. And you see it. The moment you start working with other populations, you see the difference of their education, the difference of their culture. And there are things that the people tell you, the people ask. For example, there is a program that we will start at the end of the year because we cannot launch everything at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's literacy in Spanish. So I was working with ESL classes and adults that were learning English. And we were having some adults that their English, spoken English, was very good, but they wouldn't pass any of the tests. And so they will be in basic English all the time. Talking to them in Spanish, the conversation came up, and these people could not read and write in their own language. So the literacy issue was preventing them from learning better English.
Wow.
And so if you learn how to read and write in your own language, that translates to other languages.
Okay.
So that's the idea, that they will learn how to read and write in Spanish. That is their main, in this case, we're doing it in Spanish first. So for Hispanics, that is their main language, Spanish. So they will learn how to read and write, and that automatically then translate to learning, reading, and writing in English.
In English, okay. Now, do you also, I know we've been talking about children, but are there resources for adults as well, or is this program mainly designed for children?
The citizen, we have the literacy in Spanish is for adults. We're going to have citizenship classes as well. And they are other resources. We're a shared space. So we have, that means that in the same space we have other organizations. Okay. And we are mission driven. So all the organizations that we have in our space work with immigrants and refugees in a certain way. So we have, for example, the African Literature Group. They work mainly with Africans. We have Focus Points Resource Center. They give a lot of resources. They also teach our English as a second language class. We will start a class, and it is learning English through story listening. So
that
this is a different way of learning English.
Okay.
It is not by doing just the grammar or the vocabulary. It is a theory that says that you acquire the language through understanding the meaning. So the instructor just tells you a story, and at the time that they're telling the story, they're also putting drawings in the board, writing the words in the board. And with that and the way they teach the story, you understand the whole story, even though you don't understand the language. And when I was doing the preparation for this, the workshop, there was a teacher that did it in Chinese, and I don't speak any of Chinese. And I understood the whole story. Mm-hmm. And that is incredible, because then when you remember the story and you remember the vocabulary that they put, you are acquiring the language without doing all the grammar and the...
And be perfect exact. And everything.
And it's just, this will be just complimentary to mm-hmm. the ESL classes that we already have. And it's going to be for free.
Free classes.
Anybody who wants to come and do the, well, we have two things. We need volunteers. So anybody who wants to teach this can contact us, and we will train them. We have the opportunity to have these researchers doing the training. So we have Dr. Mason, that is a professor, researcher from Japan. She's coming.
Right.
And Dr. Krashen, that is coming. He's from California. And they are both coming on August 10th to give our first workshop. Oh. And it is amazing learning from them that they're the ones developed the theory.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think because I grew up more with my mom, and so I learning Spanish, because my biological dad wasn't around. And so I moved to LA for a bit. And so it was just, so I was like, oh, maybe, you know, take Spanish classes. But I did better when people would just, I was just thrown into the mix, you know.
Yes.
And so it was very easier for me to understand it. And then I got out of practice, you know, and then I moved back home. And so the practice is, but I feel like, yeah, if you can tell a story, you can do something, engage somebody in a different way, because some people just don't respond to spell it out properly or do this or do that.
And there are people that are kind of afraid of the language. You know, I have my parents, when they come and visit, they don't speak English and they're kind of afraid of going out. And they have tried different ways of learning English. And and when I told my mom about this, it was like eye-opening. They were like, oh, and I don't need to, you know, sit and do all this grammar. You're just listening to a story.
Yeah.
And yes, that is the only thing you need. Listen to the story, then you will recognize in the reading some of the words mm-hmm. that you just that the instructor identified, that they put it on the board, that they pointed over and over.
Yes.
So then you can identify those words, and then as a consequence mm-hmm. you start talking at some point.
Yeah. It might take a little bit longer.
Exactly.
But I like that too, because you kind of work at your own pace. And
yes.
So that's the great part. Yes.
So if anybody who is listening would like to participate mm-hmm. and volunteering with us, just give us a call, and I'm going to advertise our phone number.
Yes, I would like your phone number and a website address if you have it.
Yes, I do. So our phone number is 720-280-6264. Again, 720-280-6264. We also need volunteers for the kindergarten prep. So if you want to work with immigrants or refugee kids, we need to do a background check, mm-hmm. but we need also volunteers for that. And our website to look for more information is www.rockymountainwelcome.org.
Great. Well, Diana, thank you so much. And thank you for taking your time to stop by. Great organization. And thank you so much. And we will make sure we get the word out here at KUVO as well.
Thank you for inviting me.